big rocks and all that sort of thing.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello!
Hello!
Hello! Hello, what's your name?
Welcome to a very special...
Very special edition...
Edition.
Of...
The Mick Wall... podcast featuring Mick Wall. By Mick Wall, all funds received by M-Wall.
Oh, really? Really?
All M-Wall funds. Inc. Wall Inc. is its name.
That's right.
Yeah, it's a pun. Right. Wall Inc. And the logo's like graffiti. I'll give that to you.
Oh.
You like that?
Yeah, could you? I was thinking more like Murder Inc. You know,
yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, John, we've got an awful lot to get through.
Lot to get through, because last week we had a bit of a disaster.
Well, I wouldn't say disaster. Just more of a sort of a disaster.
Yeah, more of a, it was a technical issue of the kind encountered often in the studio.
Well, you know, I can assure readers that as their chief technical officer, I was on hand to... try and fix it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, it's like it's like Mutt Lang said to Def Leppard, look, I know you've recorded 3 editions of Hysteria already, but I just...
Yeah.
I didn't press the record button.
No, well, no, and on the one I or did some, press the button, I could hear the Calagas.
Yeah, or I had my elbow
pumping away
down
in the background.
Yeah.
Like a
pumping away, yeah.
Yeah, pumping away.
Yeah.
So, John... First of all, I mean, we've got a lot of stuff to
get through. A lot of catching up on.
But before we do any of that, let me seamlessly point you in the direction of our fabulous new microphone.
Yes, have the readers been writing in saying they've noticed a difference yet?
Well, I tell you what, your fan arrived? Mail for your singing has
it's
really...
Because it's because you can sing into these mics.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
It's not
they're proper,
you, it's
singing
the mic.
Mics. They're singing mics.
I really do.
Well, actually,
have a list
actually
of...
no, they're not singing mics. They're singers' mics. So if you
well, no,
if
no, they're
you
not
can
singers' mics.
Sing.
They're a singers.
Yeah.
Singers' mic.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the singers.
Because there are singers'
that's
mics
what they call
that
me.
People can't sing.
That's
they
what,
use.
That's what Ronnie used to call me.
But
singers, singer. He did. I used to call him up if he's doing a phone or something.
Yeah.
Hey, that's the singers, singer, ain't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that's how
it
he,
is Ronnie.
That's how he spoke.
Yeah. He was quite a rough New Yorker.
He sounded like he was poof Texan there, but no such thing. But so, yes, honestly, we've been inundated. We've had about 4 messages, all from men. I don't know if there's any significance in that. You and your community would know. But all praising your beautiful voice.
And I think it's due to our new kit.
Brought to you by Beyer Dynamic kick-ass microphones that allow a man of absolutely no singing talent to do this.
As used on Appetite for Destruction, that's what I heard.
To do this?
What?
Are you going to sing?
I'm not, I've told you this before.
So
I don't,
here he is once more.
I don't do it on cue. I do it when
you
I
don't
feel
do it,
like
you
it.
Don't do it. How do you
that's
manage
why,
to make all those
that's
flop
why my,
albums?
That's why my, that's why they take so long. That's why I'm not in the mood this year.
So you're not going to see... We start.
I might do it later.
Oh, when you're in the mood.
Yeah.
When no one's looking. Pretend I'm not here.
Oh, I'll do that, don't worry.
Right, so John, let's forget chronology. We will go back and
oh,
catch
it's one
up
of your beloved news roundups, isn't it?
Yes, because we're going to get straight into the news.
The episodes that readers
John,
love to
hot
hate.
John, hot on the news.
The episodes
you've
that
heard
readers
that before, did
love
you?
To hate.
John, hot on the news.
No, oh, very good, yeah.
On
very
the
good.
News, John, hot.
What do you want me to say?
You know what I want you to say. It's Monday morning in real world time.
But
you
see,
the big news?
Well, I thought, I mean, I've spent all weekend thinking, because this on the internet, a huge clock appeared.
Oh,
I don't know if you saw that.
Yes, I
a
did.
A giant
yes.
clock appeared on the internet.
I have alerts and around the world pick up on this kind of information.
Is it one of those death clocks, you know, where they start ticking down, the death clock starts ticking down, and that's when you're going to die, when it gets to zero?
What's a death clock?
It's a death clock.
A death clock?
Yeah.
If I go on Amazon right now, can I buy a death clock?
Yeah, I'll get one for you. Type it in.
Cheers.
Yeah.
Yeah, go on. Yeah. A death clock.
A death clock.
Uh-huh.
But it wasn't, thank God. It turned out to be a canny publicity stunt.
No.
By the well-known heavy metal band AC/DC. Counting down to a big announcement on Monday morning. Of course, you got very excited about that in your little frilly way. You started sending me emails. Oh, have you seen it? Have you seen it? What could it be?
That's the kind of turn of phrase
I was picking up.
Panicked.
Well, sort of slightly hysterical, yeah.
Out of control.
Excitement mixed with fear.
Yeah. I think a lot of fear, tinged with excitement,
yeah,
and just wondering at the wonder.
Yeah.
So what was it?
It wasn't a death clock.
It
was AC/DC announcing some gigs, boringly enough. Ugh.
Do you know, it's funny you should say that, because of all the many, many people that sent me the links to go, what is it? I just went, it'll be tour dates.
Yeah. Which is what it was.
Yeah. What else could it be?
Well,
it can't even be we're doing a new album unlike any other, because that's never been done.
What I thought it was, because it's what I got an email telling me, but it turned out to be erroneous, was that they were to announce a new bass player for the tour.
When have they ever announced anything?
Well, because that bass player was going to be...
Oh, here we go.
Duff McKagan.
Not Duff Rose McKagan.
Yes, him.
Not Michael Duff Rose McKagan.
Yes.
Not Duff as in Duff and Roses.
Yeah, him. Yeah.
But it wasn't.
Him whose pancreas exploded one time. That guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, see, now that's a story.
That would have been a story, wouldn't it?
Not I bought shares in Starbucks, but I got a degree.
Turned out not to be true.
What was not true?
The fact that he's not on the AC/DC tour.
And you were surprised by that.
Well, I thought it makes sense, doesn't it? They've had Axl as the singer.
They didn't do now a cop
gonna,
for Axl.
Now, with
they?
This tour, they're going to have Duff as the bass player. And the next tour, when Angus finally shuffles off to the great school playground in the sky, Slash.
What, in a schoolboy outfit?
Slash.
In a schoolboy
and
outfit.
A top hat. It looked like someone from Eton.
Well, you would know, wouldn't you, John?
Well, because obviously I spend a lot of time there.
John has been hanging out in very, very rarefied circles. We'll get to that in a minute.
No, we won't. We won't.
Oh, see, he's got,
some
he's...
things, Mick, are just off limits.
Oh, we don't talk about it.
We don't talk about that.
First rule of Knobs Club.
But anyway.
We don't admit it exists.
But listen, when I said to you it could be Duff McKagan, and you were still going, oh, is it a tour date?
Don't be ridiculous.
I said to you, all right then, actually it's not Duff McKagan. I've now had the press release because they sent it out to important people. They've now had the press. And I just looked in astonishment and I thought, even Mick Wall, provided he's not seen this press release. Have you seen the press release?
I never look at press releases.
Right, so you haven't seen the press release.
I call them lie releases.
Even Mick Wall, author of a book called something along the lines of Highway to Hell or whatever it was called. What was your AC/DC book called? Can't remember.
Hell Ain't a Bad Place to Be.
Hell Ain't a Bad... Mick Wall, memorable. Author of Hell Ain't a Bad Place to Be, that memorable title. Even he, who spent countless years deeply researching every aspect of AC/DC, will not be able to guess the lineup for this tour. He will not know who is in AC/DC.
Oh, what you mean is you so tell me and I tell you if anybody's ever
tell,
heard of
I'll
it.
I'll tell you there. One, can we preface? Can we preface? There are five people in AC/DC. Tell me who they are.
I'm going to preface this.
Go on.
By saying every time AC/DC have had to replace anyone in the band, they've nearly always gone for someone you've never heard of. Or someone who needs a break.
Well, Brian Johnson being a good example, obviously.
Absolutely.
Because he was in the world famous Geordie.
Absolutely.
Oh,
but
he
also.
Was.
But I
read that in Hell Ain't No Bad Place to Be.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Yes. Yeah. Phew, who knew? I've lost my thread.
There are five people in AC/DC. I want you to tell me who they are.
What I was going to say is that even when Malcolm Young left the band for a year,
Big Mal,
they didn't tell anybody. They just put his cousin up, Steve.
Yeah, and just let him play.
And about 6 months in, someone went, "That's not Malcolm."
Yeah,
that, what happened there? So they're not. I mean, even Axel. Was there an announcement with Axel? He just
was
came
there
out.
An announcement?
I think it just snuck out, didn't it?
No. If you remember, I broke the story to
Classic Rock. Oh, you
and
did.
And they
you?
Didn't believe me. They didn't print it. The silly twats.
Really?
Because Arlette told me.
They wouldn't believe you.
Yeah, I told them. I said I sent them an email saying, "Look, I've just spoken to Arlette. She says Axel Rose is going to do a tour singing with AC/DC." And they didn't believe me. They said, "Oh no, we've got to check that out." In between them taking like a week or whatever it was to check it out, everyone in the world knew. So come to me. I've just rung them. I've told them Duff McKagan is on the AC/DC tour. At this minute, the presses are rolling. So we'll see what happens. But the official announcement.
But you see, that tells you all you need to know about modern magazines. In 2002, when I was the editor at Classic Rock,
I broke the news
that Guns N' Roses wouldn't be doing their shows that summer. And they went insane at me, wouldn't trust me. I said, look, if it's not true, we get two stories out of it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, get a story.
What are you worried about?
Yeah, idiots.
So,
hang on.
So I ran it on Classic Rock. Metal Hammer ran it. On my say-so, cue all hell coming down on the office when it ran, and then followed about a week later by grovelling admission that it was true.
Yeah.
You don't... It's better to... There's a saying, isn't there, John? You taught me this as a young editor. You said, better to publish and apologise later...
And who taught
Don't
me
that? Don't ask permission.
Who taught me that? Jeff Barton. Whatever you say about Jeff, he was a fearless editor. And he would just go, that's brilliant. Just print it. It's funny. Or
because
it's interesting.
He came
or
from that era where music papers were A, powerful.
Yeah.
And B, didn't give a fuck.
Exactly, yeah.
Because there'll be another one out next week and it says something different. Well,
doesn't
all,
matter, does it?
Fine,
it's still
it?
Interesting. Yeah. So. Interesting. Yeah, I know you've been trying to avoid this, but the five members of AC/DC.
Well, I've got to guess who they are.
Yeah, tell me.
I thought you were
going to
tell me who they are, and I'll guess who they are then.
Oh, okay. All right. I'll do that. Well, okay. Well, then there are, I'd say, two people out of the five who you'd be pretty glad to see there if you purchased a no doubt very expensive ticket to see
Jono.
Jono is one of them.
Angus
is the other one.
And
the other bona fide AC/DC people.
The other three are Ken.
Yes.
Ken.
Yes.
And Ken.
Yes. Correct.
And what are their
actual names? Well, you've said one of them already, in fairness. Stevie Young.
Oh, right. Malcolm Young.
Well,
slot.
I guess so. I mean, they've not said what he's going
to
do.
Well, I doubt they'd be switching to.
Oh no, guitar. You've said guitarists Angus and Stevie Young. I thought maybe that was like Angus's wife or something. Didn't there used to be a female singer called Stevie Young?
There may well have been.
Yeah,
but no.
No. So it's not her. It's
funnily
him.
Enough, the female singer isn't the new guitarist in AC/DC.
So then, instead of the world famous Duff McKagan on bass, do you know who they've got? They've got the equally well-known Chris Chaney.
Oh, Chris Chaney?
Yeah, Chris Chaney. Do you know him?
What, you don't know Chris Chaney?
Purveyor of... So, you know, one-fifth of your ticket money is doubtless going straight into the pocket of Chris Chaney.
Well, I mean, listen, when Chris was in Jane's Addiction, I always thought he was very good. You remember him in that, didn't you,
John?
He
wasn't in Jane's Addiction.
He was.
Oh, fuck, no, not in the original. He might have been in something else.
Well, he's not in the original AC/DC.
No, exactly. Yeah, so who is he?
Well, just off the top of my head, what I can tell you about Chris, just off the top of my head, hang on, I just, just off the top of my head. Well, what I can, well, you see,
has he Chris, not got, he's Chris, not even got a Wikipedia page. That's how famous he is. Not got a Wikipedia page.
No, I remember Chris. I mean, I said to him, Chris, listen, you know, you're good at bass, but don't expect me to remember who you are 20 years from now. He said, Mick, I'll remember you, though.
Yeah.
I said, Chris,
in the words of Skid Row.
So, listen, I'll tell you something about Chris, okay? He was in Jane's Addiction. He joined for their 2002 reunion. And he was there till 2004, so I think that's...
So people have seen him before. They've seen Chris before. They're not going to be completely astonished when he turns up.
But he rejoined them in 2011.
Oh, did he?
And he was there right up till 22.
So how come Mick Wall, author of Hell Ain't a Bad Place to Be, I mean, I remember it was very long, the AC/DC. That's what I said to you.
All my work is long.
Yeah, that's what I said to you when you said to me, have you read it? I said, yeah, it was really long. It was terrific.
you liar sack. I can tell you something else about Chaney, though, because I mean,
you have never heard of him. That's what you're trying to say.
No, those are insiders, music biz insiders like myself.
Does the name Chris Chaney appear in Hell Ain't No Bad Place to Be or not?
Well, no, because he hadn't joined them then, had he?
He said he joined in 2004. When did you
put
it out?
No, Jane's Addiction.
Oh, Jane's Addiction. What? Yeah, so he's never been in AC/DC.
You're not listening, hey?
He's never been in AC/DC. I'm very confused by this man.
I'm going to clue you in, okay? Let's just stick with Chris for the moment because, you know, I feel you've overlooked him here. He was also in Alanis Morissette's touring and recording band for several years.
Oh, well, you ought to know that.
Way! It's ironic that you don't.
Yeah, oh, very good.
He was there when he was also with Taylor Hawkins when he had his Coattail Riders band. You remember that?
Yeah, oh yeah.
What was your favourite by them?
Oh, track three. Yeah.
Very right, good. Yeah. Track so that's all you need to know about him, right? Who else are you talking about?
And then the drummer on the drums for AC/DC. The Skins Man.
At the back.
Yeah.
Holding it all together.
Taking over from, who was the original, what was he called?
Well, Phil Rudd, but he got into drug trouble.
That's right,
he?
Got into jail. So he went to jail. He's a proper outlaw.
So then they brought back...
they had an outlaw on drums and they got rid of him. I mean, that tells you all you need to know about AC/DC.
They got rid of him for being an outlaw.
Would Bon have got rid of someone for being an outlaw? Would he fuck?
Definitely
no way.
Not.
No
definitely
way.
Not. Definitely
so
not.
Phil Rudd's replacement is Matt Laug.
Can I just finish up on Phil Rudd? Because I think we need to be fair.
Yeah.
You know, Phil Rudd did have what in the business we call legal troubles.
Yeah.
In like 2015, 16. But he came back to the band in 2020 for Power Up. However,
I really hate and I refuse to believe that people are going to listen to a podcast which is just you reading out Wikipedia.
No. See, John, just because I have an encyclopedic knowledge doesn't mean that in any way...
a Wikipedic knowledge, that's what I'm calling it.
Anyway, sorry, what were we talking about?
Yes, he's got a Wikipedic knowledge of
what
music.
Was the name of that drummer you said? Was it Laug?
Matt Laug. Not Loud, Laug.
Oh, Nat Laug.
Matt Laug.
Matt?
Yes.
Oh, I thought you said Nat.
No, not Nat.
Oh.
Matt Laug on the drums there at the back.
Yeah.
At the back where Phil Rudd used to be.
Yeah.
The outlaw.
Yeah. And there's then, not much more I can tell you about that. I think.
Well, I can tell you more because following the announcement of this amazing lineup that we're all desperate to see at Wembley Stadium for £200 a ticket. They've confirmed that their lineup will consist of Brian Johnson, guitarists Angus and Stevie Young, Matt Laug on drums, and Chris Chaney on bass, who, as AC/DC themselves say, will be carrying the torch for Cliff.
Literally just reading that quote on this bullshit.
Carrying the torch for Cliff Williams, who retired from performing back in 2016, though did make it back out on stage with them for the Power Trip Festival last year, which, if you remember, began with a great train rushing towards you, which was quite exciting.
Yeah, I do remember you sending me some video clip that had nothing to do with the words you put underneath it. I do remember that.
Yeah, well, that was it.
Well, that is exciting. I'm so glad they did the big clock.
So the big clock, to tell you, this is for Cliff, man. If you don't buy a ticket, you're dishonouring the memory of Cliff Williams.
I got a memory of Cliff.
Yeah.
First gig. Telling you to first fuck gig off. For AC/DC. Now, if you can picture the band, okay, when Bonner's in the band, same with Johnson, but you know, so you're looking at the band, you're from your point of view, Angus on the right, Malcolm on the left, singer in the middle, bass player nowhere to be
still
seen,
still at the back,
right at the back,
yeah.
First ever gig, Cliff, it's his first ever gig in AC/DC, and they're already a big band. He's out there giving it down the front, and
in front of Jono,
Well, just, you know, doing what, going out there, giving it, throwing some shapes.
Yeah.
And then turning round and going back to his spot. As they're walking off, Malcolm Young collars him. Oi, mate, don't ever turn your fucking band on the your back on the audience again.
Oh.
He goes, here's the gig. You stand, I won't do the accent. You stand there, you play your bass, you don't fucking move, okay? When you come to do some backing vocals, you walk out, you do your backing vocal, and you walk backwards. You don't turn
your back. Yeah, exactly. Of course you do. Everyone knows that's bass player 101.
But you fucking stay there. You don't move.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Because I always thought if I was in a band, I'd quite like to be the bass player that did backing vocals. So it's quite an easy gig, but you get to do a bit of getting up to the mic.
Well, because you've got that special voice.
So I just do background vocals on, probably on AOR classics.
Until they discover how good you
really are. I'd quite
like
to be the bass player in someone like Night Ranger.
You'd quite like to be Thin Lizzy.
No, I wouldn't.
Singing and playing bass.
No.
You'd quite like to be King's X.
I wouldn't.
King's X.
I wouldn't.
King's X. Singing.
Or you did that tribute band, didn't you? Queen's X. You were in.
Queen's Y.
Yeah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Anyway, AC/DC, third and 7th of July, Wembley Stadium, £3,000 a ticket. Get yourself down there. Or dishonour Cliff Williams, one of the two.
See, that he's carrying the torch.
Carrying the torch. You'll see Angus carrying a torch in his weirdo school uniform.
Cliff.
Yeah.
The bloke who's replaced Cliff.
P. Malcolm didn't say to Angus, "Angus, mate, you know, it's starting to look a bit..."
What, the
school old
school
uniform, yeah.
See, now that would have been a clock.
Yeah.
That would have been a clock. The countdown. And then finally when it hits 12 or whatever it is, Angus revealed, not as a schoolboy, who knew, but an old man.
Yes, that's what they should have done.
A doddery old git, about 4'3", like an elf out of The Hobbit, smoking his fucking pipe and drinking his tea.
Exactly.
Fucking and hate that track.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the sound of bitterness leaking out of Mick Wall's head.
That's a love of music pushing itself to the fore.
All right. That's it. No one wants to hear that anymore. Get on to the next thing, for God's sake.
All right. What is the next thing?
All you need to know is it's going to cost you Saudi money to go to that gig.
Yeah.
That's what I will tell you.
Well, they turn shit green.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, listen, before we get on
in
to
honour
more
of Cliff's
edge,
memory. So is Cliff Williams dead or is he just not there?
He's just not there.
Just not there. Okay, thank you.
They'll be carrying the torch, you see.
Yeah. Well, that's what it usually means, isn't it? It usually means that.
People in the audience be going, which one was Cliff?
Yeah, which one was Cliff again?
Was he school uniform?
Strange, after that first gig, all he ever did was stand at the back, looking very slightly terrified.
I saw him at this gig about 44 years ago. He was out the front there, throwing shade. Him and Angus and Bon. Yeah. What a fucking combo.
Yeah, it was like seeing Judas Priest. Yeah,
it was like the Scorps doing a human pyramid. Yeah. With Cliff at the top.
Yeah.
Angus at the bottom going... One day this will be good. Cliff at the top. What's he doing? Right, so that's cutting edge news. We've got more cutting edge news coming your way. But first, we have to address some readers.
Well,
you have some apologies.
Oh, do I? Okay.
Oh, very much so. Well, on a couple of cases, I'm afraid, John. Firstly, not to rub your nose in it, obviously, but, you know, your appalling gaffe.
Your appalling gaffe
on the last podcast where you claimed to have seen Black Sabbath. On the second leg of their Heaven and Hell tour in the UK.
Yes, Hammersmith Odeon.
And you claimed that Samson was supporting.
Yes.
And Bruce, it was one of his last gigs. Oh, no, you
said
it was
Nicky Moore. I told you it was Nicky Moore.
How wrong can you be, John?
Well,
on a level of...
In fairness,
on a level
I did
of
say
zero to ten, how wrong would you say you are?
I did say to you, I remembered in the car on the way home.
Ten.
I remembered in the car on the way home.
That was handy.
That the support band for that gig was A to Z.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, A, and their logo was A, capital A, two Roman numerals, Z. So if anyone remembers anything at all about A to Z, do write in.
That kind of narrow... Do write in
on
a postcard to the usual address. Don't give me that face. Yes, well...
But I did see Samson with Nicky Moore at the Hammersmith Odeon. They did do a sing-along to Riding with the Angels. But it just wasn't supporting
just wasn't,
Black Sabbath.
It just wasn't.
It was some other gig. It was some other gig.
It was.
Some of you, I've seen a lot of gigs. What can I tell you?
Well, John, we have had.
And unlike Dave Ling, I haven't recorded every single one and put them in a large garden shed. So I can't recall exactly what gig it was.
He's gone beyond the large garden shed. The last time I checked, which
aircraft
was about
hangar.
25 years
aircraft
ago.
Aircraft hangar.
No, he'd bought a whole flat to put all this stuff in.
Because
it's not just recording every gig he goes to. He keeps every press release.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
Every record.
But it's incredibly useful if you run a magazine. Because when we used to do that thing on Raw when Lingy was working there, and we'd like try to recreate a classic gig, and you go, what was the set list? And you go, Lingy, you just go, oh, I've got the set list. He'd just go home and bring it in.
Yeah, I know. That's like 30 years ago,
yeah,
John.
But it was useful.
These days we have such things as digital databases.
Yeah, but they don't all... Where do you think they got that info from? Probably Lingy sold it to them. So he bought the flat to put all his stuff in. That's how business works.
What John's trying to say is he'd like to apologise.
Oh, really? Sorry if anyone was slightly upset about the thought weren't at that gig, they were at a different gig.
Sadly, John, you know...
What a tragedy.
In the modern world, which sadly you are out of tune with, People get triggered.
No, I'm very
people
tuned.
Get triggered.
The modern
they
world,
get triggered.
Modern world is fake news, buddy, and that's what I provide.
Well said. Yeah. Well said. Right, and here's something else you missed.
Oh, what's that?
I was going to say all the readers that wrote about your terrible gaffe with Nicky Moore, but I'll spare you the pain.
All right. And I actually got hold of, from my friend Richard, a copy of Classic Rock magazine.
The new issue
with a cover of Iron Maiden, Power Slave.
Rather good story on the cover.
Yeah. But that had Lingy's five-page obituary of Tony Clark in, talking of Lingy. And what an excellent job he did. And it did bring to mind several facts that you and I might have
glossed over in our account
of Tony Clark in Tony the Hat Clarkin's
life.
You
weren't having it. I was making signs to you like, no.
But I mean, you know, in fairness to us, Lingy was given a little bit more time than we were. And he actually then did go and do some research. That's only where the differences lie.
The differences lie in the fact that you've got one man living on his own, wearing a Tony Clarkin hat, listening to Magnum round the clock,
and deep diving
on the research. Whereas you and I, because we're at the edge of the cutting technology, we have to react in real time.
Yeah, which we did. We did react.
We reacted
in real
time. Let me just get to the point here. Because in that same episode, we were talking about the drummer from Kingdom Come, who'd also sadly died.
What was his name?
James Kotak. And what you forgot to mention, which has been pointed out by more than one reader, is the Kingdom Come.
You love this, don't you? Do you love it? I want to know.
No, I'm shocked.
Why do all the readers write to you? That's what I want to know.
Well, because they don't know how to write to you, do they?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, there would be your answer. So
right, I'm going to set up an email address that
complaints about you
can be directed to.
I get those as well. So listen, here's what you said. Or rather, what you didn't say.
Oh, yeah.
Kingdom Come actually opened for Magnum.
That's right, they did. I remember that as well.
Let me guess, you were there,
but you forgot. I'm pretty sure it was sort of the Wings of Heaven tour, I'm thinking.
I believe
now.
It was the Wings
Out
of Heaven.
Out to sea on the wings of heaven, when silver cuts like a knife. One of Bob Catley's great moments, that was.
Yeah, I love the chorus on that one.
That's a good one, yeah.
How's the chorus
that you don't even know what song that is, do you?
That's Wings of Heaven.
It's not Wings of Heaven.
No, I mean the album is. It's called Wings of Heaven.
It's called Wild Swan, which always used to greatly amuse me and Paul Elliott when they played that one.
Yeah. Wild Swan.
Wild Swan, follow the river. Oh, it was magnificent.
You were born a
wild swan. Yeah. Don't fly through dangerous skies. Me and Gary at the back.
Use your long neck for tomorrow.
This is brilliant. Yeah. It's a great song. It's an absolute killer song.
It sounds like
really
a masterpiece.
Good. But yes, you're right. On that tour, the old Kingdom Come, because I'm pretty sure, he'll correct me if I'm wrong, I'll stand next to Del Boy, because he used to like Kingdom Come, and he used to like Magnum.
Who are we talking about? Derek Oliver.
And we'd have been very excited about seeing Kingdom Come. Too many times I've been trying.
Derek Groveler ended up working for Derek Shulman,
who signed Kingdom Come. Correct. And here's another weird thing that came out of Lingy's obituary. There's another connection between Lenny Wolfe, singer of Kingdom Come, and Tony the Hat Clarkin, guitarist and songwriter with Magnum.
And this is actually, because I know where you're going with
fact.
This. This is actually a fact, and actually very telling.
That we didn't know
about,
this. We didn't know this. We knew it about one, because I always said to you, whenever you mentioned Lenny Wolfe, I always used to be a hairdresser. It's the one thing everyone knows about Lenny Wolfe.
They used to say that about Coverdale.
No, he used to work in a boutique. He worked
yes,
in a
I know,
boutique
but
in Redcar.
Over the years, you know, it gets...
Oh, it became...
Oh, he was a hairdresser. Because no. he would be a wouldn't he? Would. Well, hello, no, darling.
But also...
Hello, Jonathan.
I'm sure we've spoken about this a long time ago, maybe on one of the first podcasts we did, because Paul Elliott found out what the boutique was called, and it was called something hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
It was called something like Trousers or something like that.
Strides.
Strides, maybe, yeah.
Was it Strides?
Something like that.
Because in the 70s...
Yeah,
get,
no, it was...
You got a new pair of Strides.
Exactly.
You know,
it's like there used to be a boutique in Fleet where I live called Mr. Suave.
Is that where you got your first
that's
job?
Where I got, that's where I got my trousers.
That's why, to this day, they I don't know if you're
me.
Aware, but behind your back, people
well,
go...
Well, no, it's not behind my back. If I'm ever credited on an album, I insist on it being John, Mr. Suave, hot.
Yeah, I've noticed.
On the rare
I've
occasions.
Noticed. I have definitely noticed something. Right, so moving
but
on.
We haven't finished.
Oh, we haven't
so
finished.
Lenny
sorry.
Wolf was a hairdresser, but... So was Tony
oh,
Clarkin.
Yes.
He trained as a ladies' hairdresser. That would have been great. Imagine going in and you could have seen he had the beard and the hair and the hat. He would have been fabulous as a woman's hairdresser.
A delicate touch.
Yeah, a delicate touch. You know, just...
Because as a guitarist, he knows how to operate all 10 fingers separately.
Exactly, which you do need to do, especially to play Wild Swan.
I heard that he actually came up with some of his own hairstyles for ladies.
Yeah, with his fingers alone.
Including...
He didn't
including,
need scissors. If you've seen Edward Scissorhands, Tony Clarkin was just hands. Just used to...
Hands, beard and hat.
Yeah.
That was the name of the shop. Hands, beard and hat.
Yeah.
He did do beards, but not men's. So... He invented a number of iconic 70s hairstyles, including
the Mick
Wild Swan. Wild Swan.
I thought you were going to reveal that he'd done your hair at one point.
No. Tony and I used to go to the same hair. You're getting you got hairdresser confusion.
That's right, yeah.
Which is how we both ended up with what used to be known as a Bobby Charlton.
Yeah.
Very sexy.
But... Here's the other thing we forgot about. We didn't. I don't think we mentioned it the first time around when we spoke about Tony Clarkin.
Surely not.
We did speak about his connection to the Ardens and Jet Records.
Yes.
Which turns out was probably slightly more fraught than we painted it.
Oh, surely not.
But the Magnum only ever toured in the USA once.
All right.
Did you know this? And do you know who they? Do you know A what year that was, and B who they toured with? I've given you the clue. Jet Records.
Did they tour with Ozzy Osbourne?
They did.
Was it 1982?
It was 1983. There you go.
Bark at the Moon.
Must have been. It just says here.
No. It would have been...
just says here.
Speak of the Devil.
Says here, this is written by Dave Ling, so it will be right, as opposed to the things said by Mick Wall, which are wrong.
Wow. Speculative
Magnum
reporting.
Played in America for the first and only time as support to label mates Ozzy Osbourne. Mm. 1983.
So what was the point you were building up to here?
Well, no, it was just quite interesting, wasn't
they
it?
They only toured America.
Yeah, but they toured with Ozzy, and it's like, but you think of who Ozzy toured with. If you think of Ozzy touring with, you always think of Motley Crue when they sniffed up a line of ants. And
well, you see, people don't... What people
I mean,
don't,
I don't think the
always
hat
understand about the hat. You'd be surprised
sniffing
what
up a line of ants
under that hat.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised.
I would be very surprised if that's what happened.
Now, speaking of America, before we end this laboured point, didn't they record an album in America?
They did, but all will be revealed about that when we do our live show.
Oh, we're not going to talk about it today then?
No, I'm not blowing my stack early.
Oh, that's not what I heard.
But I was present at the studio.
Oh, I see what you mean. All right,
the
all right.
Goodnight LA Studios for a certain, you know, earth-shaking...
I thought we weren't going to talk about it.
...earth-shaking event. That's all I'll say at this stage.
Yes, indeed. Right, now, moving
swiftly
along. Seamlessly on.
I shall move away from
with my
Magnum.
Bayer dynamic microphone.
Because I'm going to give you, now an amusing exchange. As revealed in Classic Rock magazine, if I can find the right place.
What, do you work for Classic Rock?
No, I don't. I've just been given...
Wow.
I might still be on the staff block.
Nah,
I'll tell you in a minute.
I've emailed them, told them to stop all that straight away. I've got some sad news.
Go on, then. Yes, I am still on the staff block, yeah. So there you go.
Are you?
Yeah.
Well, I never.
Fuck you.
I'll soon sort
one,
that out.
One, two, fuck you.
Now, listen, I've got some sad... Can you stop turning pages?
Go on, because I'm nearly there. Go on. I'm there now. Go on.
What are you doing?
I'm going to tell you.
Go on.
Some amusing... Oh. An amusing exchange between
then.
Ace Frehley and Paul Stanley.
Yeah,
your friend Paul Stanley, who you love.
And Ace. Me and Ace.
No, not you and Ace, because you were very firmly in the Doc McGee stroke Kiss camp.
I am very firmly in the Doc McGee stroke Kiss camp.
Exactly. So,
but and me and Ace...
Ace is not in that camp. You might be shocked to
hear.
I am
multi-camp. I traverse camps.
You are very camp. I'll give you that.
I have 1 foot in that camp.
Yeah.
And 1 foot in that camp. Are you going to tell me the bleeding story or what?
Yeah, okay. So, right. Ace became extremely annoyed because when Kiss's final, you know, last ever tour or whatever it was announced... obviously, and it was going to end at where they'd sort of begun in New York with a gig at Madison Square Garden. And when it was announced, obviously everyone said to them, are you going to bring back the original four for like the last few songs or whatever it is? And Paul Stanley, right, despite having said yes, allegedly, was asked about this on the record. And he said, if we do that, you might as well call it piss.
Ooh.
That's what he said.
Burn.
Right, yeah, burn.
Burn.
So this somewhat inflamed Ace really.
Who accused Stanley of taking the piss.
Yeah, so, yes. So this is the... I'll now give you the...
That would be excellent.
So Paul Stanley was asked... After this terrible slight, not Paul, sorry, Ace Frehley was asked after the terrible slight from Paul Stanley.
Terrible.
When was the last time you spoke to Gene or Paul? And Ace replied, the last time I spoke to Paul was a couple of months ago. I was very pissed off at what he said about calling the group piss.
I said, come on. Oi, Paul,
no,
I said.
Come on. I've been making albums and touring for years. I could get up and play two or three Kiss songs flawlessly. Mm. But for some reason, he insulted me, and I called him out on it. I said, I demand an apology. He called me up and he said, fuck you, Ace. I'm not giving you an apology, and hung up.
Wow.
Prior to that, me and Paul would talk on the phone two or three times a year.
Two or three times a year, so pretty still close.
So Paul called him up and said, fuck you, Ace.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's
now,
the
was
last
he talking
words.
To him with his good ear or his no ear?
Well, I don't know. I mean, those are his last words. He called the band piss and he told Ace to fuck you.
And what did Peter Piss, I mean, sorry, Chris,
Peter
say
Piss
about this?
Is yet to go on the record about any of this. One can only imagine what Peter Piss is thinking.
To me, it just sounds like a shower.
Yeah, a shower.
They're
of
a shower,
piss,
aren't they?
A shower of piss.
Well, I wasn't
exactly
going to be quite as literal
are.
As that.
I have to say, I did read that exchange in Chortle.
No. Yeah. Wow, yeah. Ace hater.
No, I'm not an Ace hater.
Ace hater.
Ace handled it as well. Because Ace is, as Ace says, he's still making albums, Ace. He's made two or three albums this year, apparently. Something like that. I didn't read to the end of it.
I actually found myself listening to that and going, oh, hang on, yeah, because he did do that one out. Nah.
Yeah.
Right, now we're gonna keep my very sad story for next time.
Oh, that's true.
We're gonna end with the astonishing news, which I shared with you just yesterday, about Tommy Vance coming back onto the air with
that
a new
weird.
Show.
Yeah. And I...
And he's been dead for 19
he
years.
He has been dead for at least 19 years, yeah.
Definitely. But it's on that... It's a Boom Radio.
I'd never heard of it.
I'll
be honest, Mick. It smacked to me of something as a publicity stunt for Boom Radio. As much as anything else,
you see, you're
a radio
very
station,
cynical.
A radio station none of us have heard of
in
until
fairness,
now.
In fairness,
oh, you got a show on it, have you?
I might be in discussion.
The, yeah, in discussion. My people are talking to their people.
I thought maybe they'd like to put the pod, you know, a cleaned
up version.
I'm not
going on fucking Boom Radio. Not after this fiasco.
10.
Oh, okay. 20. Maybe I'm going. Keep going. I might be on. Make it.
They
make,
launched
what is
it.
What is it you say? Make it rain or whatever.
Turn
what do you
shit
say?
Green.
Turn shit green. Yeah, that's it.
Make it rain, motherfucker. Yeah. So they launched in the first lockdown summer, 2020.
Oh, hang on. This is very suspicious that a name what? I've never heard you mention before, Boom Radio, all of a sudden, oh, well, they launched in lockdown.
Because I remember them.
Yeah, oh, I remember them. Yeah, it was terrific. I listened to them all the time.
I didn't say I listened.
Come and get... He issued, as they say in Football Transfer, he issued a come and get me plea.
A dog whistle. Yeah. A media dog whistle.
Yeah. No, that's not no, what a dog, did I? That's not what a dog whistle is.
Oh,
at
really?
All.
What's a dog whistle?
A dog whistle is a phrase designed to incite some kind of predictable demagogic reaction in the public.
And your point is?
Yeah, no, no, exactly. There's no. You issued a come and get me plea.
Nah, dog whistle. So, no, I read about it that summer thinking, Jesus, it was a load of old DJs, you know, who you could reel off the names. You know, I own
I can
fart.
Imagine. I can imagine, imagine when you the, saw that.
Yeah.
You were like,
where
I used to have a show on Sky.
No,
and
I'd
Capital,
be,
wasn't it? Was it
Capital?
Capital?
Yeah. I was on Capital
is
in
Capital,
the 80s.
Can I, as a sidebar, is Capital Radio still going? Is
it
folded? It
certainly is.
Is it?
From okay. Strength to strength.
Well,
you know,
Capital
I've
Radio.
Left.
Yeah.
So listen, they launched in the summer. It was a load of old lags, and it was like, they should have called it Old Lags Radio.
Yeah.
All the ones that are too old for Radio 1 and 2 and all that now.
Gary Davis.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think he might still be hovering around Radio 2, but you get the idea. I'm not saying Diddy David Hamilton is on it, but I'm not saying he isn't.
Yeah.
You see, I'm not right. saying Simon Bates is on it. I'm just not saying he isn't. It's kind of like that greatest hits radio, but even more obscure.
Yeah.
So they have done a deal with Tommy's family 10, 20, to launch a new program using Tommy's voice, but they've applied an AI tool so that, you know, it'll be a new script as if he's done doing the show today. But
is
it's
this the,
all AI generated.
Is this the same one that they applied to James Hetfield to make him sound unlike James Hetfield?
Oh, oh, that was fantastic.
Yeah.
That video of James singing Hips Don't Lie.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll find it for you in a second.
Well, they said, but he could have just got someone to do an impression of it that was better than that.
Yeah, it wasn't that great, was it?
No.
Yeah, I think he could have done better. I think get him in. Get the real guy in.
Yeah.
Because I bet he loves that song. I bet he saw the funny side.
Oh, yeah, he would have done. He would have been amused.
James, who's known for his light-hearted...
His laid-back demeanour, as they say.
Very laid-back.
Yeah.
Laid-back and loaded.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so Tommy Vance, I can't wait to hear it.
No, yeah, me neither.
What was his favourite?
Well, I've kind of forgotten what Tommy sounded like.
Well, then you need to get on YouTube and look at an old Gillette's...
Just he used, yeah, he just used to have a very deep...
Gillette, the best of men.
For men who don't have to try too hard.
Gillette, for men.
But what was the catchphrase? What was the catchphrase for the Friday Rock Show? He must have had one.
Oh, there were loads. There were, but I can't remember what they were.
No, nor can
I. The truth is, I never really used to listen.
No, you're too busy doing your own thing.
I had a Friday night.
You had a friend.
Sitting at home.
You had a friend
to
fucking
radio
to see on Friday. Yeah.
A friend.
You had a friend you
I had many friends.
I used to see a friend each Friday.
Ooh, I can't come out at 10 on Friday. I'm seeing me friend.
Oh, God, you sound like Alan Bennett now.
What, the playwright?
Yeah.
Ooh. I thought I sounded like John England.
That's the worst impression.
Of who?
Either of them.
Ooh. So listen, Tommy is back. TV.
But he's not, is he?
He's back on the radio.
If you think he's
boombox radio,
if
you
think he's back, you're just playing into the boombox radio publicity stunt.
Well, I'm part of the revolution, John.
Yeah.
You know, you're either part of the solution.
But you want to ask yourself,
the
are they going to bother getting you, or are they just going to get an AI of you? Because it's not as if you don't spend enough time talking to sample.
I think, seeing as I'm not actually dead, they might want the real thing.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe.
Let's go back in time to 1989, and this is...
Ozzy Osbourne.
Yeah. This is Magnum.
Yeah, with featuring...
Tony Hairdresser Clarke.
Chris Chaney on bass. What was that guy's name? I'm just doing a, you know...
Chris Chaney.
Callback, yeah.
Yeah.
Of Jane's Addiction.
Yeah, and the other ones. Right, so do we have anything else to cram in before we draw this blizzard of an...
No, I think that's quite
Except
enough.
To say...
See you at the show.
And as we record, it's literally 9 days away. I'll put this out, obviously, before, but so probably 9 minutes by the time I put it out.
Yeah.
Not really. Stephen Wilson.
Live.
Live as our special guest at the next live recording of the podcast, which is taking place at the West Hampstead Arts Club in West Hampstead, London, on Wednesday, February the 21st. Doors open at 6. Don't be late.
And don't forget, we're doing it to keep the Cliff Williams flame alive. Burning.
We're burning the torch.
Burning the torch. We're definitely not doing it for money. We're doing it to keep the name of Cliff Williams alive.
Not remotely interested in Saudi money.
No, but do bring some.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you want to. And on that bombshell,
goodbye.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
How do I stop this, Fern?